Let's do this.
Hello and welcome to X Players, a podcast where we talk all about all things Xbox. We are the Cross Players crew, a group of gaming fans who love to share our opinions and have fun. I'm Alex, your host, and joining me today is Tyler. In this episode, we will look at the latest news on Microsoft's proposed acquisition of Activision Blizzard. We'll also discuss what this means for Xbox Game Pass and its future additions, as well as our thoughts on some of the games that we've been playing lately on our console. So buckle up, grab your controllers, and let's get started. Tyler, how you doing? It's been a wee while.
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, Alex. It has been a while. It's been a few weeks more than normal, but that's life at the moment, I think, for both of us.
Yeah, I mean, after me promising that we would be back to every 2 weeks the last time, but it's just been the kind of way the cookies crumbled. We're trying to just let everything fall into a rhythm, so we will be a bit more regular going forward, but we're just finding we've got a lot going on in the Cross Players just now, so we're just letting everything find its place.
Well, I mean, we slipped a week, didn't we, because of the we knew there was going to be a lot to talk about this week.
Yes.
So it's better to slip a week and then talk about this while it's all fresh, because there's a lot there.
Should we just start with that and get it out of the way? You know how much I love to talk about it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, so yes. This week was the behind closed doors hearing with the EU from Microsoft to try and get their Activision Blizzard deal over the line. Just prior to this, we did have some announcements from Microsoft, so let me kind of go through what was announced. So we had Microsoft signed a 10-year agreement with Nintendo to bring Xbox games to Nintendo's gamers. This includes bringing the latest version of Call of Duty to Nintendo platforms once the merger with Activision Blizzard is completed, ensuring content parity and the same day, I'm sure it was, they said. They also then went on to say Microsoft has signed a 10-year agreement with Nvidia to bring Xbox PC games to Nvidia's GeForce Now cloud gaming service. This also includes bringing Activision Blizzard's games to GeForce Now after the acquisition. Microsoft has made these agreements as part of its efforts to gain regulatory approval for its purchase of Activision Blizzard from EU officials. That wasn't from Microsoft's statement, that's just a wee bit of added on at the end. But they do hope that this partnership will show that it's not trying to dominate the gaming marketplace or limit access to Activision Blizzard's games on other platforms, which is the key. That's the key point from those two deals, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the Nintendo thing is we're not trying to take stuff away from other consoles. And the Nvidia thing is because there was always that stipulation about how Microsoft had this monopoly over cloud gaming, especially with Stadia going. But yeah, it makes perfect sense. Keep Nvidia on side, because obviously you've got the whole PC market where Nvidia are a big player. And keeping Nintendo on side is never a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's just an easy win.
I mean, it's almost win-win for both of these, isn't it? Because they're signing an agreement, and whether the deal goes through or not, it's not like if this deal doesn't go through, like, oh my god, Xbox might still have something in here that says, right, we're finally going to get Game Pass onto a Nintendo console. That's a complete possibility now. You've got to imagine as part of, you don't know the ins and outs of this deal, but it's very much like, how did they bring the games? What way did they bring the games? What other games did they bring? I know there's been a bit of, when they first made this statement, it's like, it says games, what else are they going to bring? What Microsoft games are they going to bring? I mean, why wouldn't they now start to release their stuff on other consoles? That's the approach they want to go down. And they've also made some noises around that consoles might not be here in 10 years' time. So you get that infrastructure in as many places as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, you know, in terms of, because their whole thing has been like, why would we take our games away from where they are currently? Because it's just saying no to money, ultimately. And if they're now saying they're going to bring something like Call of Duty to Switch, admittedly, you'd think there wouldn't be a massive audience for it, but I bet there is. Like, that's huge. And it also, like you say, it means that they don't necessarily, as the generations go on, they can just be like, well, we don't want to make hardware anymore. When we can have a deal with Nintendo to produce hardware that runs our services and our platforms, like, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, and you've got to imagine, and it goes on to the second point, that the cloud infrastructure is what's going to drive gaming forward in the years to come. I mean, I probably personally thought we'd be a wee bit further forward in that respect by now, but the infrastructure in the world is not there yet to support it, but it's getting there. I mean, even I'm now in the new world of actually having decent internet. It's amazing. Like, I love it. Like, it's game. I now just download games for the fun of it, just to see how fast they download, because I've never had that luxury anymore. It's so nice.
Yeah, it's a bit of a change, isn't it, going from what you were on before to what you've got now. Yeah, I know what you mean. You're like, oh, I don't know. Would I like that? Fuck it, try anyway.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't mean I've played it. I've downloaded it.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. We'll talk about that, actually, because I did almost exactly that with a game this month.
Yeah. But, I mean, I suppose on the flip side of this, you know, like, we're coming to the end of this. We're getting there. Everything is in crunch time, so give it another month and we should have the conclusion of the EU and whatever of these three big decision makers make the deal first, the other two are going to fall into line. And I think as soon as you have the analysts in America and the worldwide saying this deal is going to go through, the analysts know better than anybody else, generally. Yeah. I mean, working in the kind of industry that I work in personally, like, analysts rule, like, the world. Like, if an analyst says something and the shareholders go with it and the world goes with it and that's what drives, like, everything in relation to your company, so the analysts don't speculate. They usually have a fair idea that this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, it's backed up with a lot of, like, tangible evidence, isn't it? They don't mess about.
So, I mean, I'll be glad to see the back of it, but I'll also be glad to see the back of the toxicity that has been driven by it. So, I mean, after a lot of this news came out and you were a bit like, there was a lot of articles around, is this enough to get the deal over the line? Yes, probably, even without Sony. And I think Sony obviously are still not really coming to the table. The contracts here are similar to Nvidia and Nvidia and Nintendo for Sony to sign, but they're not willing to sit down and talk about it. Which, once you've got no doubt, once a deal or a decision is made, they will sign that contract, because why wouldn't they? They're going to have to. Ultimately, but it's, you just then get the fan bases attacking any of these people that are putting these articles out there, to the extent that people are having to, like, close their accounts or kind of not retract what they're saying, but just delete what they're saying and just not engage with it, because it's vile.
Yeah, it is. It's just, but we said this before, like, it's stupid. The level it goes to for people, like, the zealotry over being pro Xbox or pro PlayStation or pro Nintendo. Less so, but it's still there. It's just daft. Like, we all enjoy playing games. Let's just play games. If you don't want to play Sony's games or Nintendo's games, don't. Just don't bitch about it.
But, I mean, it's even the wider impact it's having, because we were talking about this over at Crossbutton VR. If you are a brand new PSVR 2 podcast, not that I'm plugging that in an Xbox postcard here, but please search for Crossbutton VR and find us. Come say hello. But it's having a wider impact with Sony, like having that state of play this week, and there's nothing. Sony haven't shown anything first party since last summer?
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's all to do with this whole, oh, this is going to hurt us, we have nothing, you can't take this away from us. And then you're like, but you've got all these games sitting here that you're not going to show, because you're not showing your hand, because it's going to make your argument look weaker to all these people who don't really know the industry. So it is having that, it's taken away from the Sony fan base, because they're not getting any news on what's coming, because that's what we were saying about the VR2, is like, where's the first party support? But it's just like, well, they're just not telling you where the first party support is. There, it will be there, and there will be stuff in the pipeline, but they're not telling it. You're not going to see anything first party from Sony until this has been concluded. At this point in time, that's certainly how it feels.
Yeah, and it's one of those things as well, like, it benefits them to an extent. Like, all the smoke and mirrors stuff sucks. Although, Microsoft arguably did it a little bit last year. But, like, you know, it's going to come to, because what the final decision is going to be by about Easter, like, it'll all be said and done by May. Decisions will be made. So Sony could effectively be, you know, it's the same with Microsoft. They could be stockpiling, telling us stuff, because they don't want to, you know, influence anyone's decision. But then you've got E3, or what would have been E3, and all of those big, you know, pinnacle moments for the year, like a month later, they could both be gearing up to give us probably the biggest set of announcements we've had in 5-10 years.
Yeah, I mean, and even from a Game Pass perspective, I don't know how you feel, we'll get on to Game Pass a bit later, but even that feels a little bit subdued at the minute. I feel like, in comparison to what we've become used to, like, there's some big games that have hit their day one, and again, we'll come on to that, but we don't seem to be seeing the volume and the regularity that we had been seeing.
Especially not like the small, like the indie stuff as well. I'm surprised by the lack of, because that was like some of the games that I've ended up enjoying the most, spending the most time on from Game Pass, have been like whimsical little indie bits and bobs.
Yeah, I know. So hopefully, hopefully we're nearing the end of this in one way or another, and I'm still probably 90% certain this deal is going to go through with some caveats, but it will go through. But we're nearly there, and I still think they always said June this year that was when they were aiming for it to close, and I still think that'll probably be the timeline given who we're looking at, because as I say, once one of these regulators have succumbed to it, then the likelihood is they'll all go. Yeah. So I think that's enough of that. We were just touching some of the other news from this week. Firstly, so I mentioned the state of play there. So at the state of play, Larian Games showed off Baldur's Gate 3. And then there was a lot of noise coming out the back of that because it said it was coming to PC and PS5, and there was a lack of Xbox, which, again, the community's all jumped on. It's like, oh, we've got exclusivity in this, and then we've got that, and then we've got that. To the extent where I think the developer themselves were just tearing their hair out because everyone was misconstruing everything that was going into it. So this is what the developer had to say. We've had an Xbox version of Baldur's Gate 3 in development for some time now. We've run into some technical issues in developing the Xbox port that have stopped us feeling 100% confident in announcing it until we're certain we've found the right solutions. Specifically, we've been unable to get split-screen co-op to work to the same standard in both Xbox Series X and S, which is a requirement for us to ship. There's no platform exclusivity preventing us from releasing Baldur's Gate 3 on Xbox day and date, should that be a technical possibility. If and when we do announce further platforms, we want to make sure each version lives up to our standards and expectations. So the reason between the lines here is that whole thing that people have been speculating is the Xbox Series S is causing issues for the developers to get parity across the versions to be able to ship, which is not good news.
No, it's not. And it's unfortunate as well because, you know, we had that whole thing of like people trying to play that down, and we didn't feel like it was necessarily the case, but it seems like first parties don't have an issue with it. Third parties maybe struggling a little bit more than we realised.
Yeah.
Which is a great shame.
It is. But it's just something else for fanboys to jump on. It's the curse of the potato, isn't it?
Curse of the potato, yep.
Yeah. That's.
Let's note that down. We'll use that again.
Yeah, it's definitely the curse of the potato. And I think we always thought there could be this coming down the line, because when you're shipping two consoles and you have a requirement that you have to ship on both, then it is a lot of work for developers, and it is a lot of work to work between those two different specifications, developer kits, all that fun, and I'm not even pretending that I know how any of this shit works. But it must be difficult, and it must, whereas at least when you're developing for the PlayStation, you're developing for a single unit, even though there's two SKUs, it's one system. And it's a shame it's come to this, and it's maybe going to be something that we're going to see more of going forward, and something that Microsoft might need to reassess, like requirements and how things ship, which doesn't give a good look from that whole, oh, here's your entry into the next generation from the lower console if you can't get all the same features of what's coming out in the Series X and the Series S, which they don't want to do, but you don't want to miss out on third-party titles. It's a tough one.
Yeah, I wonder if they start looking at an option where the Series S will leverage the cloud somehow.
Yeah.
So whether if you're playing like locally, you can only do single player. If you want to do split screen co-op or whatever, it will run it from the cloud or something where it's got more power.
Yeah, isn't that what Flight Simulator does? So the Azure
to an network extent,
pulls Flight Sim pulls a lot of data off Azure, and it runs a lot of the processes in Azure or however they present that word now, because I feel like we heard that one a lot just now. So it might be that kind of mixed solution, and a bit like that's how cloud gaming is what brings your stuff back to the Xbox One. So it's a lot of games become available on the Xbox One, and I'm not saying you just have a cloud gaming version on the Series S, because that's not a solution.
No.
Definitely not, but it's maybe just kind of finding more of that.
Supplements it almost.
Yeah, it's a kind of a mixture of both, and just being able to perform some of those tasks and processes in the background in the cloud to send it back into the console to prevent the strain on the console, which clearly does seem to be there. Again, speculating, that is pure speculation, but I don't think it takes a genius to work that out when they've specifically said it's between getting consistency across the two consoles. So yeah, I'm sure that'll be an interesting story as it continues. And a brighter note, we did finally get an announcement for the second expansion to Forza Horizon 5 this week, as part of the Forza Monthly live stream, and it is a rally adventure, which I was not expecting.
No, I don't think any of us were. I don't think I think everyone I've seen respond to it has been like, wow, this is definitely not what I would have expected.
Yeah. Looks cool, though.
Yeah, it does. It looks really cool. And it's like, I think, and I said this, I think, on Discord when it first sort of came out. I was like, I'm kind of gutted after seeing, like, Forza Horizon 5 had that new playable area, the new island and all that sort of stuff. And then the more I stewed on it, the more I was like, actually, I've quite enjoyed playing like Dirt and stuff mm-hmm. because of Game Pass in the last like year 18 months, and this is kind of just like bringing those worlds together. So I bet it's actually going to be, it'll end up being a lot of fun, and I'll end up putting a lot of time into it and loving it. And of everything Forza has done, at no point have I ever gone, God, that was a bit shit. I've always been like, fuck, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
So.
I think we'll have that moment again, and I'm quite excited for it, because when you look at it, and I don't know, you probably not remember, you might remember these games, but some of my original favourite games on the Xbox were Rally Sport Challenge and Rally Sport Challenge 2. Like, I remember one track where you were just rallying up this mountain in a Subaru, and like, they were such good games. They were first party games, and it's one of those, like, you're like, I'd quite like to see another Rally Sport Challenge game, because they were so good at the time. Like, I just remember hours and hours and hours in that game, so I'm like hoping to get a little bit of that
from this.
I like when they do something different, because I was one of the ones in the disappointed camp when we had Hot Wheels again for the first expansion. It kind of settled when I played it, I loved it, but I was a bit like, we've done Hot Wheels, do something different. So we're doing something different, which is good.
Yeah, I think we'll end up loving it, and it's not long to wait either. It's like, it's out by the end of March.
Yeah, was it 29th? I'm now something making like, that date up, but it's
the 20 something, I'm sure.
Yeah,
before Easter, like definitely before the end of March, and that'll be yeah, like Hot Wheels was. That's not like 15-20 hours, especially if you're like me and you don't feel content until you fucking 3-starred everything.
And it bridges that gap a little bit between motorsport. Yeah, 29th of March, just confirmed. Yeah, 29th okay. It is. So it was. So, and the launch trailer looked cool. So, new cars, new tracks, new island, all you'd expect from Forza. New achievements, of course, which is always nice.
That's all you're bothered about.
Why not?
Those gamer score numbers are ticking up in the back of your mind already.
No, they're not, because my gamer score has really lacked in the last couple of months. Which I need to do something about. I definitely need to do something about. Last story I was going to cover. So Shinji Mikami is leaving Tango Gameworks after 12 years in charge. Bit of a shame. Obviously just shipping Hi-Fi Rush to such a claim. Maybe that was the right way for him to go. Maybe he thought, I'm going to go out in a high. But not what you want to hear from a first party studio as the head leaving. But from my perspective, these things happen. 12 years is a long time to be in a job. To be setting up your own studio, to have it taken over twice, essentially, to kind of the initial purchase by Bethesda, and then for Bethesda to be acquired by Microsoft, she's probably at the stage where I'm like, yeah, that's enough for me, time to move on. And it seems like, I don't know how much input you had into Hi-Fi Rush, but if Hi-Fi Rush is
a taster of what's to come from those guys.
Yeah, could not think of a word there, Tyler, but yeah, if it's a sign of things to come from them, then I think they're in a good place to carry on his legacy, essentially.
Yeah, and as much, you know, the guy's got a hell of a lot to say for his career with them, but, you know, he's not the only reason that studio have produced what they have. You know, there's a whole studio of great guys there, and I'm sure that, like you say, whatever is coming from them, albeit sad that he's going, I'm sure whatever's coming is going to be of the same high standard, and we're going to love it in the same way.
Yeah. So good luck to him, whatever he goes on to do. I think that's the news for this week. Let's touch on what we've been playing, because again, as we said, it's been a wee while. Do you want to go? What you've been up? What you've been playing? What you've been buying? Anything exciting?
I don't need to buy anything. I've bought three games for my Series X in the whole, or Series X and S the whole time I've had both of them, because Game Pass is just don't need to, basically. I bought Sonic Frontiers for my little boy for Christmas, and I've played it as much as he has, and then I bought some backward compatible stuff.
We don't buy games, do we?
We don't need to. That's what Game Pass is for, ultimately.
Yeah, and anyone who has an Xbox who doesn't have Game Pass, I'll never understand that.
No. No, the amount of people I've like explained Game Pass to, and they've just gone, shit, really? Like, you know, two or three. I've got friends who were like, oh, I don't know what to get my kids for Christmas. I was thinking of getting them a PlayStation, but they're expensive. And I'm like, go buy a Series S. You'll never have to buy them a game. You can pay like less than 100 quid and get 3 years of basically Netflix for video games. Like, Microsoft should have me on a commission at this point, the amount of Series S's I've sold in the last like year. So yeah, I finished Hi-Fi Rush, which was fucking excellent. I think I was maybe halfway through it when we did the last episode. So yeah, I've finished that, and I've revisited a few of the early missions just to like improve my score and play with some of the extra stuff you get. My son has actually played through, I think he's in the last level, and like, bearing in mind he's 5 and has very little concept of rhythm, I'm impressed at how accessible that's been for him. Yeah. With the exception of the boss fights. It's like, he has run through to me like, daddy daddy, boss fight, you do it. But other than that, like, it's been a great one. He's loved
even
playing.
The boss fights themselves are, I mean, it takes a little bit more thought in terms of what you're actually trying to do, because I think they're all quite different. But they're quite accessible as well. Like,
it's just the rhythm thing he can't grasp. Which, do you know what I mean? He's 5. I've got no sense of rhythm, and I'm having to like force myself to work it out, and probably having a harder time than I should. So,
and the hardest bit comes when you're trying to do the parry ones, and you've got that's the bit that's the difficult bit. Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so like, we've both loved that. That's got twice the playtime in our house because of that. I, having been doing a lot of late nights recently, I've watched quite a few people playing the World of Assassination stuff for Hitman. I was like, oh, that's on Game Pass, I'll give that a go. Like, looks like fun. Nothing too like twitchy and like button mashy. So downloaded that, sat up, try and played that one night, and I played, I think, 45 minutes and was like, nope, not for me. Just like anything, too much stealth, too much patience, too much thinking, I think. Like, excellent game. Looks phenomenal, very well thought out, very well put together, and having watched people who are good at video games play it, it's an excellent game. It's just not for me. I got to level 100 in the Battle Pass for Fortnite.
Oofed.
So yeah, it's right. I've quite enjoyed it. It's something different. I'll drop in, play a large amount of it, and then I won't touch it again for 3 or 4 months. So I basically, because I bought a few skins this season, some of the anime ones that I wanted, I had to get further through the Battle Pass so that I had enough V-Bucks so that when I want to play it again, I get the Battle Pass for free. But yeah, it's been good fun. The way that game looks is absolutely astonishing.
Yeah.
Where they've moved it.
I've played a little bit of it recently, and like, I'm not a Fortnite person at all. But I have played a little bit, and I'm absolutely shit at it. Like, absolutely terrible, but you are impressed by how good it looks and the sound design and everything on it and all that. It's like, it's really well done.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Like, that move to Unreal Engine 5 is just insane. The difference for me. So yeah, that's great. I've played, like we were saying before, I've played a few hours probably now of Sonic Frontiers, maybe 3 or 4 hours. Some of it doing stuff for my little boy and other stuff. Like, when he was at school, I just cleared a whole bunch of the island that he was on so that when he got home, he got the little supersonic bit, which he absolutely loves.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. He loves those. And actually, as I found out when he got there, all of the like the heavier vocal tracks that they have for that are done by 2 guys whose bands I listen to a lot. So where he gets in the car now, he's like, can we have the Sonic Frontier songs? I'm like, yeah, it's basically listening to what I want on the way home.
That is a bonus.
Yeah. Got my son into video game soundtracks at 5 years old, which I feel like is an achievement.
Yeah.
I've had Atomic Heart ready to go as well. I had that pre-installed from the second I could have pre-installed it, because I've been excited for that since the first trailer for it, which feels like about 5 years ago. But I just haven't had a good opportunity to start it. I don't want to start it at like 10, 11 at night and then find that I'm still playing at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
That mistake of pre-installing it too early, because I think it installed and then it had a 6 to 8 gig update to basically install a whole new game again. Like, what's the point? Because I got that yesterday.
That's fine. I'll spin the Xbox up at some point today anyway, so I'll make sure that is ready. And then, yeah, I am technically back to work tomorrow, but I'm sure I can find a few hours this week to, like, with a big game like that, I like to have a couple of hours for that first session to get through enough that I kind of understand what's going on and how to play the game properly, so that I'm not, like, dipping in for half an hour and it's just tutorials.
Yeah.
It's got a very mixed reception.
It has. I mean, and it's very much like some people love it, some people hate it. And it's a bit like everything now. I don't know. Every review, every game that comes out just seems to be divisive. Like, there doesn't seem to be any consensus on anything at the minute. Like, and whether it's just that's the way the industry is and people need to be divisive to make a name for themselves, I don't know. Obviously, there's credibility in things people are saying. It's not going to be a game for everybody. Yeah, there's a little bit of politics behind it all as well. The setting maybe brings that out a little bit. But I think the one thing that has been consistently praised is how good it looks.
Yeah. Absolutely. This is the studio's first game, and yes, it's taken them 5 years or whatever, but holy shit, you've never made a game in your life, and then you release on day one, especially a game that has very few, if any, frame rate issues, that looks exceptional without using ray tracing, and okay, it doesn't support HDR, which would be nice to have, but like, what studio released their first game in the last, you know, in the era of patches and improvements, that was this functional,
yeah,
and ran this well and was on this scale?
I know. I mean, it's a credit to them. Although, just when you mention that, I don't know if you've seen a lot of the crap that's been going around again, that the PS5 version runs better than the Xbox version, so they just took all the Microsoft money from Game Pass and they polished the PS5 version and ignored it and left the Xbox version unfinished. You know, oh,
fucking say what you like, it doesn't matter. Like, ultimately, you can be a snob and run all these little side-by-side comparisons. It runs fucking well on both. And we haven't paid for it. So that £70 is going to sit in my pocket, and it's not going to sit in the pocket of somebody who's playing it on the PS5. So I don't give a shit if it runs 2% better on the PlayStation. Yeah. I'm still going to enjoy the video game.
It's so tiring.
It's just silly.
Well, in terms, I've done the same, Atomic Heart, so it is installed, but I haven't played it yet again, just because I haven't quite found the time, and I'll be brutally honest, I haven't found a lot of time to play much recently, just between one thing and another, but I have played a little bit. I started Sonic Origins when you mentioned Sonic, because my son quite likes Sonic at the moment, so I shoved that on, and he just likes to watch it. He's like, oh, Sonic's my favourite. I'm like, okay, what's that, play a little bit of that, which has been fine. It's Sonic Origins, it's your original Sonic games again, it's fine. I've also been playing a little bit of GoldenEye on my phone.
Nice.
So I just thought, I'm going to jump into this and kind of run through the levels just to see how much of it I remember, and it was a lot more than I thought it would be. I'm just like, oh, that, yeah, I need to go there. And like, it's amazing how much of these things you remember after all this time. So that was quite nice. And I've played some Like a Dragon-ition, which I talked about on Crosscast this week. So I won't go into too much detail here, but I've been liking that. So this is my second Yakuza game. I've only played Yakuza Like a Dragon before. They'd done the whole thing with series names and changing it all and all that nonsense. So this is a standalone game in the series, which is a remake of a 2014 game, which only released in Japan. So it's basically all the Yakuza cast and this whole historical Japanese setting and more of a samurai type game, but you have a few different methods of how you control it and how you fight within it, and different fighting stances. There's four different stances you can take, and but it's got the same kind of wackiness of Yakuza and some of the mini games and side stories and all that stuff. So it is a Yakuza game at heart, but just in a completely different
setting.
That's cool. Seems good. I think that's all in terms of Xbox content I've been playing. Have spent quite a lot of time this week in PSVR 2, which I've alluded to, so that's taken up a lot of my time. Have picked up a couple of things, of course. I don't think I had this the last time you were here. Matches that lovely purple jumper you're wearing today, Tyler. So obviously this is an audio podcast, but I am holding my lovely Stellar Shift controller, which was purchased with some lovely Microsoft reward points. So that is, it looks even nicer in real life than it does in the pictures.
Yeah,
it's a lovely colour. My son's obsessed with colours, so the fact that it changes colour, he loves, and he's a bit like, he tells me what colours are mixed to make up those colours and all this. He's just completely obsessed with colours at the minute, so that's quite nice. I also got given this Nikon Revolution X controller, which I've been meaning to talk about for a couple of episodes, but we've not had the chance. So this has become my PC controller, because it is a wired controller. It's almost an alternative to like your Pro controllers, because it does have some of those features. So you've got customizable thumbsticks. That don't know what word that was supposed to be.
Customizable thumbsticks,
triggers, and buttons. Get some RGB lighting around the right stick, which is quite nice. Kind of defaults to lovely cool Xbox screen, but you can change it. It does have Dolby Atmos for headphones. You can have different profiles, the extra buttons on the back, all the things you'd expect from the Pro controllers, and then the less input lag because it's wired. So that's become my PC controller. Feels quite nice. It's kind of a nice alternative to the Xbox controller, but it still feels quite, you can hear a nice little click on it, some yeah little shifts in the back for the sticks and stuff, so it's pretty good. But obviously all those same customizable features via apps. And what I do like about it is that it's got customizable weights. So it's got like a little pack that comes with it, and it's almost like little, and they're quite cute, they're like little mini dumbbells. Like, so you get these little mini dumbbells that you can slide off the back of the controller and fit in to get the weight that you want. So it's good. I think there's like four different sets of weights to give you the ideal weight for the controller that you like, because a lot of people like a heavy controller, some people like a light controller, but it's nice. It's one of those things you'd never think you'd be able to customize, but
yeah,
it's quite a nice change to be able to do that. So I have liked that, and it works great on the PC. Obviously new to PC gaming, so it's nice to have that wired option for that, rather than messing about trying to get the wireless working, because I think you need a wireless adapter for the Xbox yeah controllers to work with the PC, or you can use Bluetooth, but I never find is quite as good with the Bluetooth, so it's quite nice having another option. But as I say, it's the Revolution X controller from Nikon, and I think you can find it relatively cheap now. There's a lot of places that have reduced the price of that. I think you can get it sub £50, and it's definitely a great option.
Yeah, when you think what things like the Elite controller cost, like that does all the same things, and for what you've said, does them very, very well.
Yeah. I mean, I quite like just being able to customise some of the back buttons and have a few shortcuts to things, which is good. But it's been a nice one to try, because I've always stuck to first-party controllers, so this is the first third-party one I've probably used. I know in some other consoles you quite like some of like the Power-A controllers and stuff like that, but it's definitely a nice back kit. So have a yeah look if you're thinking about it. But that's really it from me. As I say, quiet in terms of gaming. This is probably, I think I said this in Crosscast as well, this is the least I've played games in probably maybe about 2 years, which feels weird to me. Actually, life's getting in the way a little bit, getting quite busy, but hopefully that's going to change over the next couple of months, and they'll get back into some of the bigger games, which will be nice. Shall we round off with some Game Pass stuff? I'll run through the additions and what's leaving. So Game Pass additions for the rest of February and early March: we have Atomic Heart on 21st, so that's already out, cloud console and PC. Merge and Blade on cloud console and PC in February 28th. Soul Hackers 2, cloud console and PC in February 28th. F1 2022 on March the 2nd, cloud console and PC, and that's via EA Play. And then we have Wolong Fallen Dynasty, cloud console and PC, day one release March 3rd. And there is a new demo just come out for that, with the progress rolling over into the full game, which is nice if you want to get going on that just now. It does seem to be one that's going to do pretty well, I think. And just to finish off, leaving on the 28th February, we've got Alien Isolation, Crown Trick, Dragon Ball FighterZ, Far Changing Tides, Lightning Returns Final Fantasy 13, Madden NFL 21, and Octopath Traveler. So, a few going. What's your picks there, Tyler?
I liked Crown Trick a lot. We did that as an early cross-seasons game, and And I'd wanted to play it, I think, for a while, but that was like what tipped me over the edge. I binged that game. I binged it badly. Like, day to day, it didn't take me that long to finish, but it took a good few runs. It was very, very well executed. A nice, probably one of the more original roguelites I've played. And I like those games a lot. I've played quite a few of them, and this was definitely one of the more fun ones. Great little game. Dragon Ball FighterZ as well. I actually had to stop myself playing this on any console I've played it on, because I feel like I'm gonna ruin controllers doing it. Not so much out of frustration, but you're like, in in essence, you're trying to make a move so fast, you're like smashing the joysticks against the gates, and you're like, I'm going to snap the stick clean off the controller. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. I like Dragon Ball, the whole Dragon Ball franchise anyway. So yeah, again, very, very, very fun fighting game, but there is a very high skill ceiling, so you're going to have to spend a little bit of time on it if you want to do stuff like the online. I'm still gutted I haven't got to any of the Final Fantasy 13 games while they've been on Game Pass, because I've enjoyed almost every Final Fantasy game I've played. So it's a shame to see that go.
I think I'm just accepting the fact now I'm not going to play a Final Fantasy game.
They're just not for you, are they? Like, yeah. You've got your own things that you enjoy, and then, yeah, mine are slightly different.
What about Wolong? What are you thinking about that?
I've watched a little bit of gameplay of it, and it looks exceptional, and the whole like Oriental mythology thing is cool as fuck. It's kind of like, from what I've seen, it's almost taking that Soulsborne Elden Ring type thing and applying it to that setting, where a lot of the Soulsborne stuff is more Western, is like medieval Western fantasy. This is traditional Asian fantasy, and it looks amazing. The boss fight I was watching looks cool. Some of the slightly different mechanics are cool, but ultimately it will probably be way too difficult for me.
Yeah, that's what's put me off, although I did really enjoy Elden Ring, obviously, this time last year, so I do want to try it, and people who have played that new demo seem to be speaking really highly of it, so I think it's going to do pretty well. And it's one of those, well, no harm in trying, it's there, download it, give it a go.
I'll definitely give it a go, but that's very much something I'll play on a PC, on my PC rather than my Xbox, I think. Like, pull it down through Game Pass, play it on PC, purely because things like the response times, and for whatever reason, I just, anything twitchy like that, I seem to be better, more functional at on a PC. But yeah, like, I'll try it, why not? It's not necessarily suitable for you, though, because you can't do any magic. You have to actually get, like, within 50 yards of the enemies.
Oh no, so you mean I can't cheese it? Oh no.
That wasn't what I was going to say, but it was definitely what I was alluding to.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that then. Find out on the next episode. I'm sure we'll have some initial thoughts on that the next time. But and I think that draws us to a close, Tyler. Thank you very much for joining me once again, and thank you all for listening. If you have enjoyed, please head to thecrossplayers.com, where you can find links to our Discord, our Patreon, if you'd like to support us from as little as a pound, to all of our other podcasts, whether that be Crossbutton, Crossbutton VR, or the main Crosscast. Please check out our other shows, have a listen. And thank you to all of our existing patrons: Ethan Hunt, Sticky Simpson, Nate Ellingsworth, Carl Hughes, Sean Hughes, who likes to make me spend money, Jason Frost, Sarah Purbrick, Rebecca Rudgenath, Luke Cooper, Kevin Scully, Mark Hammond, and Rune Storm. We will see you all next time, where we have, as I say, our first thoughts on Wolong, where I will not be a cheese mage, which is very disappointing, and probably more rumblings about the Activision Blizzard takeover, which is always fun. So thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Cheers, everyone. Thank you.